Thank you, Jesus. Since 1974, that's 45 years ago, Pastor Paul Daniel has been ministering the gospel in Southeast India. He's been coming to Green Bay for over 30 years to gain support for his mission.
Thank you.
Wow. Paul, I didn't realize you were so old. Wow. He is married to his wife, Rani, who also helps in the women's ministry and works with widows. Paul has two sons, one of which is married. Paul's vision is to reach the rural areas with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's got the same mission we all have. It's pretty neat. He's established church work in 14 villages and has discipled 14 trainees and ministers to support those villages. Paul teaches in Bible schools to train future ministers. His work includes supporting daycare centers for the elderly, for widows, including financial and food support for numerous widows on a monthly basis. At the end of the service, we're going to take up an offering to help him in that ministry in which he's been so faithful. And at the end of the service, he's going to actually be in the back. Paul, you'll be in the back over there to answer any questions people might have and ways that you can support him. The primary way will be through the church, and then we have ways to get the money through one of our deacons who then forwards it by check, or however they do it, that it gets to him in India, because that's no easy transaction. I'd like you to stand up and give a good clap hand for Paul Daniel as he comes and shares with us.
Thank you very much. God bless you all. I've been praying for a little more time to preach. So Pastor said 11:15. Then I prayed, and God was gracious enough to extend 5 more minutes, and then 5 more minutes, and 5 more minutes. So he said, I can go up to 11:25. And after my third prayer, God didn't hear my prayer. It's because he is so gracious to you, because you have an important work to do today. Your cricket is going to take place. Your football match is going to take place. So I don't want to test your patience. Anyway, thank you very much, Pastor, for giving me this opportunity to share about my ministry and a little bit from the word of the Lord. And I also, at the time, take time to thank Brother John and Penny for hosting me all these years. Since 1990, I know them. And every other year I used to come, and every time I come here, they just are happy to receive me and host me. Thank God for that, and may the Lord bless them. Now I'm going to show a few pictures. I not brought all the pictures of my ministry, and I'm going to show you a few pictures and a little bit of explanation, and so that you will have a glimpse of my ministry and what is happening in our area. And to begin with, this is a gospel meeting we held in the church. And after the church, I'm praying for the people who wanted to be prayed for sickness and for salvation. And the next picture we see, this is one of the church I built. The church is behind the people there. These are the church members, and my wife and I am there. My wife asked to give her hearty, hearty greetings to you all, Rani. And she said, at least for 1 month, poor Paul Daniel, you can have liberty. I am not coming with you. So, okay, this is the church. And the next picture we see, this is one of the conventions we had this year. In the month of May, every other year, month of May, we have meetings for 4 days in this place. So like that, every church we have every other year meetings. And this church, it's actually a teaching time. I took the book of John and taught for the 4 days. And we had about a little less than 600 people every day attending this meeting. And, the free food was provided by the people. The people save money for 2 years. And then the people give food free of cost to all those who participate, whether Hindus or Christians. But at the end, they forget to give me an offering. And in the next picture, we say, I'm preaching. And the words behind is called a Tamil. If you go to Google and click, which is the oldest language in the world, it will show Tamil. And then comes Sanskrit. Number 3, Hebrews. So I'm so proud of here because I speak Tamil. And in the next picture we see, this is another picture of the same convention we had in the month of May. And next picture, please. Next one, please. This is how they provide food. They have booths and, they serve food to all the participants. Nice food, good food. And for the next 1 month, I'm not going to get that food, my food. And next picture, please. And the same picture. And this is how we cook. And it's all done in open air. You will be so shocked and amazed to see how they cook. With one hand, then we having this big spoon. You won't eat there, but so this is how a picture of people in the ministry. Some of them, not all of them, and they do the. I and another pastor train them up, and they go to rural areas and preach the gospel. And the next picture, please. And these are the few widows we support. And every year at the time of Christmas, we provide them clothing. And now they are eagerly waiting to receive clothing from us. And every month we send some money to the widows living in distant areas. And we invite some of them to come to the church and we provide them food. And we have we call that as a daycare center. And this church was under construction. I will show the completed building. This is the best church we have. When I say church, it is not like your churches in America. Your 40 by 60 will be a nice church in India. And it's always good, the latecomers, they cannot enter into the church because of the crowd. They have to stand under the sun. That is the punishment there. When I went back to India and told these people that America, 10 o'clock, the service starts, they will be there before 9:59. They were so amazed. How can they do that? I tried to teach them to do that, but I conducted a wedding. The last wedding was supposed to start at 5 o'clock. I waited till 5:30, waited till 6 o'clock, waited till 6:30, and 7 o'clock the bridegroom arrived, and 7:15 the bride arrived. I did the marriage in 15 minutes. So this is an open air meeting. We put the tent on the top, and please go ahead. And I'm baptizing with sunglasses because in February I had my eye surgery, and I was supposed to stay at home, but a disobedient Paul Daniel went there and baptized these people. And these are the baptized ones. Few pictures. This year we baptized more people. And the next picture, please. And this is the dedication of a new building. And I am dedicating there with the same jacket. And I've been using this for years. Because we don't need it in India. And I'm just preaching there the dedication sermon. And all those people, not all of them are my pastors, but a few of them are my pastors. Another baptism service, please. And this is inside the church, one of the churches there. And there are one more group who were baptized by me. And this is another gospel meeting in another church. And I'm preaching there. And I thought of bringing some of my messages, but it's all in Tamil. Unless you know, you have the gift of interpretation, you won't be able to understand it. So these meetings, that's another church. This is another church, and I want to say a few things about this church. And the young girl you see on extreme left, to your left, she is 37 years old. 1.5 years back, her husband got sick, and all of a sudden he died. And they have two daughters. And last Sunday, the daughters were crying, and she came and told me that they are asking questions. Why did God take our dad so soon? So I had to sit down with them for some time and talk to them and console them. And one is doing in the college, the other is in the high school. And after his death, in India, the culture is that women don't preach. So she said that you have to come and help us. So I said for a period of time, I can help you, but I cannot keep on helping you because I have to go to other churches. So I took charge of the church. When I took charge of the church, there were 40 people, and now we have 100 people in the church. And in my absence, she will be sharing with the people. My older boy is also interested in the ministry. He will share something from my wife. And usually my wife preaches to me. Here are some widows there. And please keep on going, brother. And a few more widows in another village. And this is the same meeting. I think it is repeated. And the widows, they come and eat on the leaves. You know, it's a sight. It's not actually banana leaf, but usually people are provided food in banana leaf. You know, as I always used to tell you, you are using only one plate for lifetime, but we use plate for every meal and throw them away. We are rich people. So the widows are there. The one standing on to the left, she is pastor's wife. The pastor is standing behind. He is one of our pastors. And this is another church we have by a seashore. And this is the building recently built. Not all the funds was given by me, but the pastor's wife, she is a teacher now, and she gives all the money to the church. And they had a house. She sold the house, and she said, you know, after my death, this building will go to your mission, she said. So because for some reason they cannot give it straightly to me because it's taxable, so they build the house. After that, they can write a will and give it to the church. And I think this is the front view of the church. On the top, we have the prayer room. And on the right, that's a living place for the pastor and his wife. And I think that's all we have. I think so, yeah. So now to begin with, I want to read a scripture from the book of Revelation. And they sing a new song saying, "Worthy art thou to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and didst purchase unto God with thy blood men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them to be unto our God a kingdom and priests, and they reign upon the earth." This is the last picture, maybe one of the last pictures we see about the church. The church in heaven. It's a picture. It's like a picture shown to John when he was in Patmos. And God shows a multitude of people standing there. And he was so awestruck. And he was wondering who they are. Then the answer is given in the same fourth and fifth chapter. They are the redeemed ones. They were saved. They were made priests, kings, and prophets. So my question is, how were they be able to come to the Lord to become the kings and priests and prophets? If they have not heard, if someone had not gone to preach the gospel, they would not have been seen in the heavenly scene. So there was someone who was planting the seed. And it is because of them they were able to come to the presence of the Lord. It says different tongues, different nation, different tribe. Not just one kind. All over the world, the gospel was preached sometime back, and now it is being preached, and that is why, because of the preaching of the word of the Lord. It is because of the preaching of the word of the Lord. Sometimes the church is not balanced. They all the time want to evangelize. Sometimes some people, they all the time want to teach the church. They don't go out of the four walls. But we have to balance the ministry. And now, few people went out and sacrificed their life. And because of the wheat died, they were able to bring multitudes of people to the presence of the Lord. And that is what God wanted to do through Jonah. And Jonah could have been very happy if God said, go to the tribe of Judah. Or go to northern parts. Or go to Israel. Or go to Judah. But God all of a sudden speaks to him. We do not know what kind of relationship he had with God. But we could understand that he had a kind of relationship in which God can speak to him. So he had a nice relationship with God. God trusted him. I shouldn't say that God did not know that he will go to Tarshish. God knew everything beforehand. But he trusted him. And he told him what to do. So Jonah was asked to go for a mission, to go and evangelize. Not one man, not one street, not one place, but the whole city was entrusted in our hands. God, when he gives his ministry, it is not for a single person. It may be for a single person. Jesus, when he was alive on this earth doing ministry, he went to the well of Jacob just for one sheep, just for that one woman. In other places, he preached to the multitudes. We know that when Peter, who was a backslider, when he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, he went to the presence of the Lord and he prayed and prayed with the other 120 people. And finally, he could stand up. When he received the Holy Spirit, he could stand up and preach. Can you excuse me if I'm not going to follow my notes? You know, something came to my mind when I was sitting there, I'm going to share. In the beginning, when the world was in chaos, we know that God created the world and it became dark, it became orderless, it became lawless. And what can God do that? God said to his son, let the word be spoken. The word begin to speak. In other words, Jesus in the world, this Old Testament, who is the word of the Lord, he began to say, let there be light. But to me, it seems he is not the only person standing there and trying to bring a new appearance of the world. But there was someone who was hovering like a bird. Many scholars say the Holy Spirit was like a dove who was hovering over Jesus. Because without Jesus having the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit having Jesus, nothing can be done. But Jesus can do it all. Jesus can do it by, the Holy Spirit can do it himself. But he gives an example to us. So here comes Jesus, here comes the Holy Spirit. They join together and they bring the chaotic world into a corrected world. So the Lord wants to give that salvation to correct the world. And so he needs two. You just go turn to the pages of the New Testament. You will see when Jesus was baptized. And even before that, when he was born, Mary was conceived of the Holy Spirit. So now we see Jesus and the Holy Spirit. When he was praying on the banks of River Jordan, we see that he was praying, the Lamb was praying, and there is a beautiful picture, the dove is coming upon him. So when the dove and the Lamb join together, the beginning of the ministry of Jesus takes place. What do you think about Jonah? Jonah means, anybody know? Anybody knows about it? Jonah means dove. The bird, dove. Yeah. How do you pronounce it? Dove? Yeah. We speak right English. D-O-V-E, dove. But to my amazement, to my shock, when I was reading the four chapters, I could understand in the first chapter, Jonah was a silly dove. In the second chapter, trembling dove. In the third chapter, he was a dove sent forth. In the fourth chapter, he was a mourning dove. I think he is a kind of emotional man. First chapter, he is backslidden. Second chapter, he says, no, Lord, I am repenting. I am repenting. I will offer you sacrifice. But God was smiling within himself and he was telling within himself, obedience is better than sacrifice. You may come out of the belly of this big fish and go to the temple and offer me 100 oxen, 100 sheep. But above all, the most expensive thing, the most important thing is that you offer yourself. You are surrendering. Your dedication means me so much. So second chapter, you know, he prays that, Lord, this and that, and he prays. You know, we can pray at the time of trouble, a prayer like Jonah. But third chapter, he goes and preaches on the streets of Nineveh. What do you think about that? How was he preaching? Look at him. Look at his face. This is how he was preaching. I don't know whether he was holding a Bible or not. In those days, scrolls. They were big ones. So people are so afraid of Isaiah. I always tell the Lord, Lord, why did you raise Isaiah? Because 66 chapters we have to read. Why don't you raise people like minor prophets? One chapter, three chapters, 12 chapters. So he was walking on the streets. Oh, people of Nineveh, God is going to make the city upside down. God is going to do downside up. But he is preaching upside down. When he was preaching, one thing I appreciate Jonah, he pretty well knew that God is going to save Nineveh. Whether he preaches happily or sadly, or because of compulsion, he knew one thing, that God was going to save Nineveh. He was very sad to look at the faces of these people. Because the Nineveh was the root cause of all idolatry. And the root cause of all the problems against the Jews. So after he preached, he walked just one day. If you want to walk across the city, it will take 3 days. After the first day, before the message could reach the king, the people began to throw themselves on ashes and began to fast and began to pray for mercy. Then the news goes to the king. The people knew that if they worship, if they seek the help of the Jewish God, they are going to be destroyed. But they never cared. So when God preaches, he preaches the power. Whether he likes it or not, the preacher likes it or not, he preaches with power. When we say something, many people don't know, the preaching has power behind it. When the preaching goes, the power is pushing. When you send the rocket, every stage, the rocket is, shooted up. So when he preached, the people repented. The king came to know about that. The king changed certain things. He changed his throne and sat on the ashes. He changed his apparel, clothing, the royal one, and he had sackcloth and sat there. He changed his food. You think in those days, what do you think about the king's food? Oh, my goodness. The first time I was taken by a man to a restaurant, I didn't know anything about buffet. So my wife was there. We were just married. And he says, whatever. No. He said, go and eat. So I told my wife, if we are going to eat maybe 5 or 6 items, it's going to cost him a big bill. So let us go and take few things. So we went there, took few rice, little bit of rice, and little bit of curry, and came and ate. And after that, I came to know how much I missed. That is why whenever people call me to eat, I'm very happy because I missed in those days. One time, I still remember, I was to interpret a preacher who spoke in English. And they all sat there, and the pastor was a diabetic patient, so he took just a piece of bread, and the pastor who came from other country, he was not used to Indian food, so he took bread and butter. So in the college, the professors taught me table manners. When your guest finish, you are to finish. Oh, so many things were there. Goat's meat, fish curry, and then chicken. Everything was from there to here. One person prepared us. So then onwards, when people called me, how about Golden Corral? So then now the king lost appetite for his pleasure. He threw it away. He threw the throne away. He threw his royal apparel away. He threw his pleasure away. But this man, our friend, he's not experiencing the pleasure of God, joy of God. I think with sad face he was preaching. So God expects him to do 4 things. Number 1, to proceed. Number 2, to pray. Number 3, to preach. Number 3, to prepare. The first chapter, he should have proceeded in Nineveh. In the second chapter, he should not have prayed from the belly of the fish, big fish, but he should have prayed before entering into the land. Then the third thing, he should have preached the good news. And fourthly, he failed to do something which is very important. What is the use of telling people about Christ and Jesus saves you and somebody gives their hearts to Jesus, then if you quit the place, what will happen? They will not be brought to the presence of the Lord. See, every believer has 3 things, a relationship with sin. As you all know, number one, the sin causes problem, the punishment of sin. Number 2, the power of sin. Number 3, the presence of sin. We have to go through all these stages, and the minister and ministry should know how to lead the people to take them from one to another, another to another. When I am saved, the penalty of my sin, the punishment for my sin, is done with. But still, I have the presence of sin. Now, if I were Jonah, I could have conducted a meeting and just sent an offering bags to the people, and I could have got about $500 million and built a big church there. He was able to win the souls, but he was not able to lead them into perfection. That was missing. Okay, now the next thing is he missed the opportunity given to him. Many of us, you lose the opportunity given to us. And I am like Jonah sometimes. I'm afraid of people. I'm afraid of the situation. Right now, the government is not in favor of us. You'll be shocked to know that Bible schools are being closed because no one is coming forward after the present government took over. They're afraid of persecution. Just before I left, next to our village church, one Hindu boy came with sand and other things to build a temple there. It'll be an awkward thing if he builds a temple there because they are very noisy. They will have a mic and the speakers, everything, shout and shout. And his mother comes to our church. She's a believer. But he hates her. In the north, the pastors are suffering so much. So now, what is given to us is an opportunity, whether whatever happens to us, whether people garland us or whether people chop off our head. It is our responsibility. Go to Nineveh. Where is my Nineveh? And what I am supposed to speak there? To a little more, 5 minutes I got. Little more thing I want to say. I have got so many, like 12 pages. I thought I was pray. I did not pray. I thought that pastor will give me at least 2 hours today. Last week in my church, I preached for a little more than 1 hour. And then I was sweating, and I looked like as if I am coming out from shower. So we have a whiteboard, and I had to go and stand behind the whiteboard. My son comes and changes my dress. Yeah, my son treats me as a king. That's a blessing. And now with one thing I want to close. When Jesus Christ was about to be taken to his father, he turned to his disciples and said, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature." So in the Old Testament, we see Jonah, the dove. In the New Testament, the dove, Jesus, is telling his church, the Bible says, Jesus saying that, "Be guileless like a dove." So he says, you are like a dove. You have to go out and reach the people and come out with good news. This is Noah's Ark. You spend so much of dollars to go and see Noah's Ark. But I'm here, I'm showing free of cost the Noah's Ark. First the raven went. Flew back. Nothing is told of Noah's hand. But when that dove went out, we see that Noah is stretching forth his palm so that the dove may come and sit on his palm. And he is so amazed to see the dove came with something, with a hope. With a tender branch of an olive tree. So Noah means rest. Our rest is the Lord Jesus Christ. So whenever we bring good news to the people and bring back good news to the Lord, we always rest in the palm of our Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And right now, though I have so much to say, I want to encourage you that it's time for all of us to understand that we are the lights. With this word, I'm going to finish. We are the lights. The sun helps the daytime. The moon and star helps the nighttime. In the Bible, if you read the story of Samson, the meaning of Samson is sun. And the meaning of Shulamite in the Song of Solomon, Shulamite is moon. And Esther means star. So different kinds of lights. We are supposed to be lights of the world. Light of the world. That is what Jesus said in Matthew 5:14. He said, I am the light of the world, so you have to be light. So how do we become light? It's staying in the presence of God and receiving his light and reflecting his light. That is a secret. Receiving his light in the night and reflecting his light in the daytime. Every night Jesus will go either to your garden or to your mountain slope and receive the light. Every morning he will go to somewhere, synagogue or temple or street, and he will reflect the light. And that is the secret of the success of Jesus' ministry and the success of the early church. May the Lord God bless you with the burden of the world, burden of the lost, and may he use you mightily with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You are not alone. I am not alone. We have the powerful, powerful Jesus Christ with us. One time I shared you one thing, that Jesus gives exousia, and that the Holy Spirit gives us dunamis. Exousia is authority, dunamis is power. When we have both of them, whatever happens, without their knowledge, nothing is going to happen to us, and we are going to win the world. We are going to bring the people to the Lord. And let us go and search for the lost soul under the fig tree, and Nathaniel will be there. Bring him, and let's go to the well and look for the woman and bring her. May the Lord bless the church with the burden of evangelism and fill this church with the souls. God bless you.